As we read God's word together from Psalm 23, God's word says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Blessed is the one who reads aloud these words. Blessed are those who hear and obey, for the time is near. Please be seated. Father, we ask that as we turn now to this portion of your word, that you'd give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand, and wills to obey, that we might see Jesus high and lifted up. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, this has been a crazy week. It's been an unprecedented week for all of us. I don't know your individual stories, but just to share a little bit of mine, this week, our oldest, who is a senior in college, found out that all of his classes are canceled and that he's moving home. We thought we had a strict no return policy. And that policy went out the door this week. He is packing up his stuff today and getting on a flight tomorrow because he's been told that you have to get all your stuff out of the dorms. Our other kids have had all of their sports seasons canceled. They're in school online now for the next few weeks. And so we are going to be a full house staying at home trying to figure out what life looks like. And I know for many of you, your lives have been disrupted this week and things have changed radically for you as well. You've been people that every minute, it seems, as you open up the newspaper, or today now access the news on your phone or your device, that the news has changed. It's changed constantly. It's changed by the minute. It's changed by the hour. And as Christians, we are always called to be people that have two books, as it were, in our hands. One is the news, is the newspaper. We are called to be people who think about our world, who respond to the news, to the happenings in our world wisely and well. And the second book is Scripture. We're called to be people who know the wisdom of God, the truth of God, the beauty of God's word. And what happens is if we only read the newspaper, if we're only ingesting media, we'll be consumed by the news and we won't know how to respond wisely and well. And if we're only reading Scripture, we won't know how to love our neighbor in the midst of changing news. And so we need both. We need the newspaper and we need God's word in order to live lives of holiness. Live lives that are engaging love of neighbor, service of God in the world in wise and mature ways. We need the wisdom of Psalm 23 this morning. And Psalm 23 really challenges us, in light of everything that's happened in our world this week, to ask the question, what kind of people are we seeking to become? What kind of people are we being formed and shaped into? What kind of people are we seeking to become? David Brooks, a few years ago, wrote an article where he described two types of people. And he said, in our world, in our society, we are being shaped by two different types of virtue: competitive virtues versus compassionate virtues. And he says, competitive virtues are in vogue. Those virtues are things like toughness, strength, power, competition. seeking to get ahead of others. Those are the stories that we tell ourselves in our world. Those are the types of movies that we make. We are shaped to become people like Tony Stark, David Brooks says, because these are the stories that we tell each other, that life is all about competition. And he says, out of vogue are the compassionate virtues, virtues like humility and gentleness and kindness and forgiveness. And he says, we don't tell stories about Mr. Rogers anymore. This was actually written before some films about Mr. Rogers came out. And maybe some of you are too young to even know who Mr. Rogers is. But he says, we don't tell stories in our culture anymore that are shaping us to be people like Mr. Rogers. And what we need in our world is to be shaped and oriented more by the compassionate virtues than by the competitive virtues. And the news that we all face this week challenges us in this way. Are we being people who are shaped by the competitive virtues, getting to Costco first to get enough toilet paper and paper towels for our own family members? Or are we seeking to be shaped by the compassionate virtues, love and care of the other, love and care of neighbor, seeking to be formed by the Christian story that says, our God is over everything. Our God is sovereign. Our God reigns. So what kind of people are we seeking to become? And Psalm 23 is God's wisdom for our world today. And I want us to look at three things from Psalm 23. First, I want us to look at why we need a shepherd. Second, when we need a shepherd. And third, who is our shepherd? So first, why do we need a shepherd? Well, to be a shepherd, or to be in need of a shepherd, is to be a sheep. We're all sheep. We're all creatures. We're all finite. We need a shepherd because we ourselves are sheep. And this week we've been reminded that none of us are in control. None of us can predict the future. None of us have the power and the wisdom and the authority to control our own lives. That great theologian Mike Tyson once said, everybody has a plan until he gets punched in the mouth. And this week, we've been punched in the mouth collectively as a society. But this week, some of you individually have been punched in the mouth as well. You need a shepherd because you are a sheep. You are a finite creature. And you don't have enough wisdom and strength and grace to respond to life's punches without being injured. Okay? You need a shepherd because you're a sheep, because you're finite. You need a shepherd because you're not in control. You need a shepherd because you live in a world that is too vast, too big, too scary for you. And so you need somebody who is bigger than life's circumstances. You need somebody who is bigger than life's punches. You need somebody who has taken these blows, who knows these blows, who has walked down the same path that you have walked down and knows how to navigate these paths. You need a shepherd because you're a sheep. Each and every one of us have different types of shepherds that we turn to. Some of us have financial shepherds. And how have they been this week? Some of us have, you know, professional shepherds, life coaches, executive coaches. And how have they been this week? Nobody knows exactly what to say in this situation. Nobody knows exactly how to shepherd you through all of the twists and turns of life. We all need a shepherd that's bigger, that's wiser, that's greater than any other shepherd we entrust our lives to. And the shepherd of Scripture, the God of the Bible, says that he is the creator God who has made all things, who sustains all things, and that he's the one that is in control. And that he's the one that's with us through all these twists and turns. He's the one who's walked these paths before us. He's the one that knows these paths well. And so we need a shepherd because we're creatures living in a vast world. And things are out of our control and things are too scary for us. And we need somebody who knows the way. Second, when do you need a shepherd? Well, this psalm very beautifully describes three seasons of the sheep's life. First, it describes the sheep's life in the springtime. Israel is a pretty arid country, and so the rain comes in the winter months, and the grass grows, and the pools and ponds and lakes fill in Israel in the springtime. And in the springtime, it's easy to bring your sheep to green grass, to verdant pastures, to cool, still waters, because there's lots of grass in Israel in the spring. There's lots of water in Israel in the spring. In the springtime of life, life is good for the sheep. The shepherd is there with them to cause the sheep to rest. And some of you are in the springtime of life right now. Life is good. It's blue skies, new relationships, new work, new joys, new hobbies, new gifts and graces that have been entrusted to you. And you're sitting here this morning overwhelmed by the mercy of God, overwhelmed by the goodness of God, overwhelmed by the grace of God. You are in the springtime of life. And you're giving thanks that you have a shepherd that cares for you and loves you and provides for you so abundantly and so graciously and so clearly. If that's you, enjoy these days. These days are gifts from your Savior. Receive these days with deep gratitude, with deep thanksgiving. These are God's good gifts to you. Some of us are in the springtime of life. But what happened to every sheep in Israel, and what happens to us as people as well, is that once the spring days were over, the shepherds had to take the sheep on a move because the grass had withered up in Jerusalem and the water had dried up. And the shepherd had to go on a journey to bring the sheep to new grass, to bring the sheep to new waters during the summer months. And so the shepherd had to say to the sheep, guys, it's time for us to be on the move. It's time for us to journey down the mountain into new pasture land, into new valleys, into new places where we can find rest. This is the summer months within Israel, where the shepherd had to lead his sheep through these twists and turns, through these valleys and ravines to bring them to rest. And every sheep in Israel knew, every shepherd in Israel knew that summer is coming. Summer is coming. Summer is on the way. And we as humans know this as well. As someone living in Austin, Texas, we have a conversation like this all the time, and maybe you guys in Phoenix have a similar conversation. It's March. It's 70 degrees. It is beautiful. And we gather around and say, isn't this incredible? We get to live in a place like Phoenix, where in March, when everybody else in the country is inside, we are outside enjoying the sunshine, enjoying this beautiful weather. Isn't this amazing? And somebody in the group will say, yes, but August is coming. August is around the corner. And in August, we're going to hate living here. In August, we're going to complain about how hot it is. Summer is coming. We know this to be true. Shepherds in Israel knew this to be true. And so a wise and a good shepherd would lead his sheep down the valley into new pasture land during the heat of summer. Friends, summer is coming for you. The heat will soon be upon you. I don't know how. I don't know in what way, but heat is coming. We've been scorched by the heat of the news in our world this week, collectively, and some of you have been scorched by the heat of bad news for your individual lives or for your family lives. Heat is coming. Heat is on the way. And for those who are embracing the heat right now, my encouragement to you is to endure the heat. Even this heat is a gift from God. Your wise shepherd knows the heat that he is entrusting to you. So embrace and endure the heat of summer. And friends, oftentimes we live in the tension between springtime when all is good and we can't believe how amazing life is, and summertime when the heat's upon us and we are enduring the dog days of summer. We live in this tension. I have a friend a number of years ago who was in the hospital. And in one room, his wife was giving birth to their firstborn child. Springtime. Plans, hopes, prayers, dreams, vision around becoming a father, around raising a son. The springtime of life, life abundant, resting, joyful in this gift of a son. And in another room in the exact same hospital, his father was dying. And he spent his day going back and forth between those two rooms. And his father died on the same day that his son was born. That's an extreme case, but for many of us, that's where we live life, is in the tension between springtime and summer. And so my encouragement to you is that both of these days are entrusted to you by your wise and faithful shepherd. And what you need to know and what you need to remember is that fall is also around the corner. Now, for us in Austin and for you in Phoenix, fall doesn't come until November or December. But fall is eventually going to arrive as well. And this was true for every shepherd in Israel and true for every sheep. And if you were a sheep who was lucky enough to make it through the days of spring, when you had green grass and still waters, if you were lucky enough to make it down the mountain to new grass and new waters, and you were living during the days of fall, do you know what fall meant for you as a sheep living in Israel? Fall was harvest time. Fall was feasting time. Fall was a time when all Israel would gather together and celebrate and dance and party and feast and eat lamb. Lots of it. And so if you were a sheep lucky enough to make it to the fall, guess what would happen to you? You'd be consumed. You'd be eaten up. But look at what Psalm 23 says. That's shocking to us. From the perspective of the sheep, you, my shepherd, don't kill me. You, my shepherd, prepare a table for me. You prepare a feast for me. You don't eat me alive. Rather, you give a feast. You give food. You give sustenance to me. And friends, this is the heart of the biblical story. This is the heart of the biblical drama, the heart of Christianity. God is not out to consume you. God is not out to kill you. God is not out to eat you. God is providing tables for you, feasts for you. He's making you, the sheep, celebrate the goodness of his table. Friends, you are not the lamb. You are not the lamb. You are not the lamb. God himself has provided a lamb. This is the heart of Christianity, God's provision for sheep to give feasts, to give banquets, to give himself to his people. And so this begs the question then, who is this Lord? Who is this shepherd that we're called to follow? And Psalm 23 says, he is the Lord. He's a faithful one. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's the one who is good in all of his promises. The same shepherd that led Moses, the same shepherd that led David, the same shepherd that led Daniel throughout all the twists and turns of life is a shepherd that leads you. Your shepherd is the Lord. He's the one who's walked these paths with his people countless times before, and he's now walking these paths with you. And your shepherd, the Lord, has a son, and his name is Jesus. And your shepherd, the Lord, was also faithful to provide for his son, to be a shepherd to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus needed a shepherd as well, just like you and I need a shepherd. And Jesus had a shepherd. He had the Lord. He had his Father who was faithful to him throughout all the twists and turns of his life. Jesus' shepherd was the Lord who was faithful to bring him from death to life. And Jesus' shepherd, the Lord, when Jesus didn't walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but when Jesus actually suffered death, actually died, was consumed by this valley, Jesus' shepherd, the Lord, was faithful to raise him from death to life and to bring him to the other side. You see, your Savior needed a shepherd as well. And your Savior has passed from death to life into the presence of his shepherd, the Lord, the faithful covenant-keeping God. And your Savior has gone before you and sits at the right hand of the Father. And what does your Savior say to us? He says, I'm preparing a banquet for you. I'm preparing a feast for you. I'm preparing a home for you. And friends, when you begin to understand that your Savior needed a shepherd, when your Savior trusted his shepherd, his Father, when your Savior passed from death to life and is preparing a place for you, it transforms everything. You see, at the heart of this psalm are these words, for you are with me. You are with me. And when you begin to understand that God is with you, in the springtime of life when everything is good, these are gifts that he's entrusted to you so that you might seek him and know him more fully. During the heat and summer of life when things are challenging, he is with you. These are well-worn paths for him. He's gone down these paths before. He's endured these paths for your sake. When you begin to understand that your God is with you and that he's for you, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear because he swallowed up death. He swallowed up evil. And when you begin to get that, it completely transforms everything in your life. Everything in your life. Because what happens to a sheep that knows the loving care of his shepherd to this extent, well, that sheep can become an under-shepherd in his name. That sheep can begin to love and care and serve and forgive and share with others as he's been provided himself. So you have a Lord who is with you, and in his name, you can become an under-shepherd of his. In his name, you can begin to love and serve and forgive as you have been forgiven. In his name, you can begin to develop the compassionate virtues. Virtues like humility and gentleness and forgiveness and mercy and grace. Because you know who you belong to. And you know that your shepherd is with you throughout all the twists and turns of life. And so in his name, become a true under-shepherd to others. And share this week. Share your toilet paper with others. Share your time with others. This is a gift that God has entrusted to you that we might slow down a little bit and be more present with the people that God has entrusted to us. This is an opportunity for us as the people of God to love and serve others in his name. So let's do that well, knowing that we have a shepherd who is with us, knowing that we have a shepherd who cares for us. Let me pray. And as I pray, let me ask you to stand. Father, we do thank you that you love us and care for us as sheep. We need a shepherd. We thank you that you are with us through all the seasons of life. And we thank you that you are the Lord, the faithful, covenant-keeping God. And we ask that by your Son, by your Spirit, that we might become under-shepherds in your name to love and serve and care for those that you have entrusted to us. And I pray especially for King of Kings as they await their next under-shepherd, that they would look to you as the good shepherd, as their chief shepherd, as they await the gift of another under-shepherd. And we pray all this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.